Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started. Today we have another dose of inspiration and encouragement. My dad recently caught up with a very special friend of the AACC in our ministry. His name is Dr. Gary Oliver. Gary is a beacon of strength in a world full of uncertainty. Today our topic is human suffering and how God will not leave you nor forsake you if you trust in Him, remain steadfast and patient, and call upon His strength for such a time as this. A brief intro of this amazing man. Dr. Gary Oliver is a psychologist and author. He currently serves as the Director Emeritus of the Center for Healthy Relationships. He's also a professor of psychology and practical theology at John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. He received his bachelor's degree from Biola University, a master's in divinity from Talbot Theological Seminary, a master's of theology from Fuller Theological Seminary, and a master's and a PhD in psychology from the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. Dr. Oliver has over 40 years' experience in individual, premarital, marital, and family counseling. He also serves on the executive board and the national speaking team of the American Association of Christian Counselors. Dr. Oliver is the author or co-author of over 20 books, including Mad About Us, Moving from Anger to Intimacy with Your Spouse, Raising Sons and Loving It, Made Perfect in Weakness, and Real Men Have Feelings Too. Dr. Gary Oliver resides in Arkansas with his wife. And with that, my friends, let's go there now as my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, begins.
Gary, I want people to get to know the side of you that I think God's probably done His greatest work in. And it's a tough story.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, take us back to when this tough journey started in your life.
Well, just a wee bit of context. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Sunday school 12 years and didn't miss a Sunday. By the time I got at Biola as a freshman, I'd memorized hundreds of Bible verses. I had a year of undergraduate Bible. I had 3 years from my MDiv, 2 more years of THM, so 5 years of graduate theology, years of Greek and Hebrew. I knew the word, and I loved it. And then as a psychologist, I began to become skilled at understanding how God wants to work with all of who we are, our minds, our hearts, our emotions. But in 2005, God began to trust me with a unique adventure. In 2005, I buried my dad. 2 months later, my late wife, Carrie, then of 25 years, got metastatic pancreatic cancer. Was told she'd live maybe 6 months. 2006, I had my 5th cancer surgery, chemo radiation, but I was used to it. 2007, my middle son, Matt, died. And 2 months later, my wife of, at that point, 27 years, Carrie, died. 2008, I buried my only sibling, my sister, Marcia. So in 4 years, I finished burying my entire nuclear family, half of my current family. A year later, I had my 7th cancer surgery. They removed 80% of my tongue, took muscle off my leg, put it in my mouth. I said I'd never speak again. I'd never be able to swallow or chew. I'd have a feeding tube the rest of my life. But I was alive. And then about 9 months after that, I went back down to MD Anderson. The cancer had reoccurred. They said it was advanced stage 4. There was nothing they could do. I had less than 3 months to live, go home and call hospice. And that was the life of a person who had spent his life serving God, understanding the word, unpacking truth, encouraging others, talking about how God's trustworthy and how He protects us and how we can count on Him. And so, it was a dark 7 years of the soul.
Gary, some people would be thinking maybe what Job's friend said.
Mm.
What's going on? Why this valley?
Why this darkness? There's no doubt, Gary, when you were going through all that, you began to question a lot of things.
One amazing thing, Tim, was that in the process, God helped me see that I needed to stop asking why. Because sometimes there may be 15, 20 reasons why, but God said, Gary, you need to ask who. Who am I? You need to ask what? What have I promised? You need to ask where. Where might I be at work? And it's not that I didn't wonder why, but I have found that why often leads to a cul-de-sac. And we just go round and round and round. And oh, there were times, Tim, I didn't know where God was. I felt betrayed. He says he protects us. I couldn't sure prove it. He said he'll guard us. Well, I was not a good example. And that somehow I knew that he was a promised keeper. But somehow I knew at the deepest level, more than I knew with my mind. I knew the verses, I knew the promises. But it was like, Gary, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I can't, because I promised. I have no choice. You are my beloved. I'm at work, and you'll just have to trust me.
Gary, in that journey, I want to go into the pain piece a little bit more, because we've heard of the sayings, pain is a gift. By the way, it's a gift that nobody wants.
Yeah.
Reframing, developing perspective is hard.
Oh,
because
my.
When you stand at the casket of a son, of a wife, and you realize they're never coming back, humanly speaking, it's unspeakable grief.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know the question why needs to be reframed into a who. If you grew up in a Christian home and you have been no stranger to pain, you've walked down these roads. But at the same time, you want to you can't help but just keep screaming, God, why?
Yeah.
Listen, I've tried to do these things right. I've tried to be faithful. You promised that you'd love us, but I don't sense or feel your presence. And Gary, I mean, people get stuck there because if God is a good God, then why are these things happening? I mean, he could intervene.
Yeah. He delights in using us, and he wants to help us go deeper with him. He wants to move us beyond head knowledge to heart knowledge. It's like when you get married and you're courting, you have this oxytocin. And your fiance is perfect, and she thinks you're perfect. But then after together for a while, the oxytocin wears off. And what you thought was funny was no longer funny. And you begin to see some things about yourself and each other. And you find most young couples do that you had buttons that your beautiful, amazing fiance, you know, can push that you didn't know you had. And that's how maturation takes place. You know, I think of the Psalms. Talk about a massive failure. I mean, David, come on. I mean, he has an affair with a married woman. He has her husband killed. I mean, this stuff. And then he came back. And God says that he was a man after his own heart. And this process taught me the depth of sin. Not theoretically, but the power of his shed blood. And time again, I sense God saying, Gary, it's not how much you know. Keep on reading. I still memorize scripture. I've read a lot of your books, Tim. but it's about doing. It's about being. Get out of the boat. And after a while, you learn things don't have to change. You want them to change. I never stop praying for that. But at some point, you begin to learn that he is enough. And that's the deepest lesson that we can learn. That my joy is not dependent upon everything going great. I like it when it does. But I have a knowledge and awareness of God's power, his presence, his spirit, that my decades of study didn't give me. There's sometimes I still find myself asking, why me? It's like the only answer I hear is, you'll find out.
Gary, do you think God weeps with us?
Oh.
People often ask me, do you think God sees what's happening inside my heart? And is he tender toward that?
Tim, absolutely. If we are in him and he is in us, he can't not experience what we do, maybe in a different way. He is God, but Jesus wept. And the Bible says he keeps track of all of our tears. That means that we have a God who knows us better than we do. And that happens because of sin. And that's why he came. God sent his son. He understands the depth and breadth of the fall of sin better than we ever will this side of heaven. And quite frankly, after what I've gone through, I understand God's love, his mercy, his goodness, his grace, his faithfulness. And that may sound weird to some of our listeners, but I've been through a lot more stuff than most people ever go through.
When I think of you, I think of like the life of Job. Gary, you often tell the story of after your surgery, your tongue surgery, the cancer, that you would stand in front of a mirror and try to say your ABCs and wind up crying your eyes out. I want to make sure people are with us here because, yeah, you have a lesson. You have a gift for us. You know that, and for us to be able to get there, we got to go there.
Yeah. I spent hundreds of hours, Tim, that's not hyperbole, trying to say my ABCs. And early on, I would start crying. And I would say, God, what the fat's going on, okay? Your promises, your I can't say my picking ABCs. I'm supposed to never talk again, okay? How can you use some, I'm writing books, I'm traveling, speaking internet, blah, 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 and now I can't even say my ABCs. Where are you? Oh, I quoted the Bible back to him many times. And somehow, in the midst of that, Tim, I knew in a way that transcends putting into words. In fact, several times I heard him say, Gary, nothing of any significance has changed. And I had some talks with him about that. What he was saying was, Gary, I still love you. You're still my son. All my promises are true. Okay? Your eternity is here with me, and I'm at work in your life, and I will bless you. But sometimes he takes his time, Tim.
When did the mental shift change, Gary, for you? I go back. We've been friends for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And when I think of you, it's like I don't want to think about what you've been through. Because, humanly speaking, it scares all of us. We would rather ignore or deny it. You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And no doubt, Gary, you've had some of Job's friends in your life.
Oh, my.
But when did the mental shift happen? I know it shifted.
Oh, yeah.
And I want our listeners to know that what he's saying is true. Gary really believes this about God.
It didn't happen overnight, but it kind of began. I was in ICU. I'd been on a ventilator for several days. I woke up. I have tubes everywhere. They had to put new holes to put more tubes. The doctor comes in and gives me the diagnosis. You'll never speak again, blah, 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 blah. And after he leaves, I begin to talk with God. You know, what's happening? What's going on? Where are you? And it's like I heard him say, Gary, I haven't gone anywhere. And that's the first time I heard that nothing of any significance has changed. You're my son. You're my beloved. You're precious in my sight. What you have right now, my son, you can handle with my help. I didn't feel it, okay? I thought he'd gotten the wrong guy. But it took, well, a good year before I began to really understand and be able to trust that.
Gary, coming back, some people would say, listen, so are we to just accept what happens to us? What about praying and crying out to God and asking him for healing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I had friends. I had all kinds of prayer things. Listen, isn't the majority of the Psalms David complaining?
Oh, yeah.
Talking to, I mean, you know. He was not a happy camper. Oh, no. We have to be open and honest. And sometimes I probably used words with God I wouldn't use in public. But I had nothing to hide. I felt like I had nothing to him. But the way we learn to be faithful, the only way is by being faithful. The only way we can learn how to do it is to do it. And that means we're going to slip and fall, make mistakes, and that means he'll be there. And my sense is God would rather see me get out of the boat and sink in the water than sit in the boat the whole time because I don't feel like I can trust him.
When I was a boy, I remember my mother had a lot of spunk in her, Gary. But one of her sayings was, how long are you going to sleep in that bed? Get up and get moving.
Wow.
You can't drown in your sorrows.
No.
And that was really our message. Don't get lost in that.
Amen.
Get up.
See, I have more joy, Tim, than I have ever known. I know more about joy than I've ever known. At one point, I looked at every Hebrew, Greek, whatever time the word joy was used. So I knew about joy. I had a great message on joy, but now I know it in ways that transcend words. And sovereign joy, you know, we say use joy and happy as synonyms. In God's economy, they're not. Happy depends on if good things happen to me, I'm happy. If bad things happen to happen, I can't be happy. God's joy is independent of what happens. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? But it takes time, the refiner's fire. But the product, this sounds like I'm trying to be clever, I'm not. The product is always worth the process. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your face and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You be faithful because I'm going to use that to encourage others.
That process, Gary, is a challenge. And I guess at the heart of it, you have to really be rooted in the mindset that God is good, ultimately.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Hell would have you believe that he is not good, that he doesn't really care about you, that he doesn't know your name. Gary, as you have journeyed, you've spoken a lot, and I know you take time and you challenge people to just know what it means to experience God.
Mm-hmm.
Why such a fervent push in that direction? A lot of people want action plans. They want strategies. Well, that can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
There's another level.
Yep. As I began to go back and look at the early church fathers and mothers, I found time and time again that they spent time with him. Not just with their shopping list. Their prayer wasn't a gimme, I need, thank you, but they spent time in the Old Testament and knew, be still, wait, listen, meditate again. Christ does his miracles, and rather than get the people to start a bunch of small churches, he goes up in the mountains by himself. That is not the way to have church growth. But even God the Son needs a time with the Father. And I begin to see those, what some call holy habits, sacred rhythms. In some ways, those were the key to going beyond head knowledge to heart knowledge.
The letting go part is the hardest part.
And you don't do it just once, do you?
No. And that lost piece is such a like companion of life. And there are many people right now who are listening, and they're in a dark season. And for them, it's very difficult to listen. But they want to listen, and they have to listen because they know they have to journey.
Yeah.
They've got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
They want to hear you say, God is still good.
Amen.
And one day, he will wipe every tear from their eyes.
That's right.
One day.
That's right.
Everything will change. One day, Gary, you get to put your arms around that gang of yours you love. That's what keeps you going, isn't it?
Amen.
But until then, God's got you here.
Yep.
Maybe just to do a radio broadcast. And Gary, I'm going to give you the close here. And I want you to speak straight into the lives of people. And I want you to pray over them and give them something that God gave you.
Success is ultimately you and I, us, choosing to be faithful, to believe in him. Sometimes that involves feeling better. Sometimes it involves enormous victories. Sometimes it involves pain that doesn't make sense. But again and again, as I look unto him, the author and perfecter of my faith, as I don't just read about him, but as I spend more time with him, there comes an intimacy, an intimacy that again transcends words, and a peace that does pass all understanding. It's a process, it takes time. The more I avoid pain, the longer the pain's gonna go, the worse it's gonna get. Some ways the easy way out is to trust him, to come back 1,000 times. God, I believe, help my unbelief. God, thank you for those who are with us today. Lord, some have tears right now. Some have heartaches they can't put into words. Some wonder if and where you are. Lord, I pray you've used Tim's and my sharing to maybe give them a wee bit of a greater perspective, to maybe see you, be aware of your promises in some new ways. God, remind them right now that you're present, that you love them, and you can't not be faithful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute.
Numbing your pain won't heal it, but acknowledging it is the first step to freedom. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us what to think on, not what to avoid. You see, avoidance is a short-term solution with long-term consequences. Clinically speaking, avoiding intrusive thoughts actually increases their power. You see, the key isn't to suppress, but to notice, to name, and to shift your attention intentionally. You don't have to fight every thought. Just decide which ones you'll feed. When a painful thought hits, don't panic. Simply acknowledge it, then gently shift your focus to truth, to scripture, gratitude, or even your breath. Remember, healing is a process, and every small step toward facing truth weakens the grip of fear. Practice, not perfection.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net.